10th of November.
Let us pray. Father God, we come before you and pray. May the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts and minds, always glorify the name of our Saviour, Lord Jesus. And Father, for this special occasion, I pray that may your hand be upon me, so I may speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, once again, we are gathered together here in this ancient building to remind ourselves of the great sacrifices our countrymen and women did give. They, as we say always at these times, they gave their today for our tomorrow. Today, we indeed remember those who gave their lives in the two world wars, and we also remember thousands of servicemen and women who gave their lives since 1945. I guess that as we remember them, as a parish priest, I have the responsibility and duty to remind a few things for ourselves as well. Indeed, we remember them, but as your parish priest, I want to remind us a couple of things. First is to remind us of the hope we have for the departed in Christ Jesus our Lord. May it be during those wars, or may it be in peace times, what hope we have of those who have gone before us. And secondly, to remind ourselves of our duty, our responsibility to their memory, the memory of those who died. Duty also to our children, our grandchildren, and indeed our responsibility to whole humanity. But let's start first the hope. What hope we have of those who have gone before us. I guess that it is quite a normal that at times like today, people do raise questions, ask, at least do ask me, because I happen to be the parish priest. If a person dies, will he, she live again? If the answer is yes, then what sort of body will they have? And what kind of life would they live? These and similar questions are as old as life itself. Throughout human history, people of faith and of no faith have struggled to make sense for those that who have gone before us. It was true in the days of Jesus 2,000 plus years ago, and it is today true as well. You know, perhaps many of you know it the fact already, that even scientists in our vastly advanced society are trying to figure out if human has soul. But on the other hand, as we read from the story, that even there were priests, Sadducees were actually aristocratic, priestly group of people, that they did not believe that there was anything beyond the grave. We heard that they came to Jesus, perhaps to test, or perhaps to convince him that there wasn't anything beyond the grave. And to trap Jesus, as we heard, they used one of Jewish practices that in fact was dead by the time of Jesus. The practice was, the Lord did say that if a man dies without a child, The brother marries the widow, and the first child will be known as the dead man's child. Maybe in our time, in our society, seems quite a funny story. I can see some smiles. But if you think of the times when it was told, and if you remember that women did not have anything or any right, there was not social state living there in existence then, their only survival was that if they have a father, husband, or a son, otherwise the job was not something any one of us would like anyone to do. So in this way, the provision was that even if the second husband, after woman had a son or a child, did divorce, she still had that assurance, that protection, that I have a male protector. Perhaps we do know, actually, some of our very close friend countries, until very recently, the law operated there that women cannot go out without a male consort. So nothing strange in that sense about it. And it is also true that this was the way to remember the dead. And of course, we do have our own ways to make sure that those who have died, they are not forgotten. So back to the story they presented to Jesus. I'm not sure that if it was made up or a true story. But in answering and asking that, Jesus gave an answer to solve this riddle for the people, for all generation, that what happens when somebody has died. I believe that in answering to their question, Jesus, in fact, taught three different things. He taught that there is life beyond the grave. There is resurrection. But perhaps somebody would say, even today, how that can be. I recently read a Jewish illustration to explain it. The Jewish illustration talks of twins who debated in their mother's womb a little before their birth. The first twin said, "After our death here, there will be a new and great world out there. We will see great distances. We will hear through our ears. Our feet will be straightened. Our head will be up and free. We will meet our mother." The other twin disagreed. "Nonsense. You are straining your imagination again. There is no foundation for this belief. There is only this world, i.e. the mother's womb. There is no world to come, and certainly there is no such thing as mother." Soon, contractions came, and the first twin was pushed out into the world. The second twin heard the baby's cries and believed his brother had died a horrible death. But his brother called back, "My life has only begun." What lesson there may be for us as we remember our precious people who died. Yes, some of them very violently, true, they do die. Others obviously peacefully in their own beds. But perhaps we can learn that if they went in the faith of Christ Jesus, they called back to us saying, "My life in truth has started now." Because this life is going to end as the life within the womb ends, but the real life is up out there into eternity. Second and third, Jesus teaches that life to come will be indeed different from this life. And though the life to come is not modeled on this life, yet it is bound to the life on earth here. It is perhaps this kind of thought in mind that Barclay did write that the awful importance of this life is that it determines the eternity. That is the link between the life here and life to come. If this life is bound, the eternal life is bound to the life here, then sure there is something we can do during this life. Do something to make the difference to the world and difference to our own eternity. And this obviously then leads me to the second reminder I have in my mind. Our duty, our responsibility to the memory of those people for whom we have gathered together here, and memories of and the responsibility towards our children, grandchildren, and indeed to the whole humanity. Not long that we will be going out into the church grounds, where we will gather together around the war memorial. And there, in the act of commitment, we will ask the Lord for three things for ourselves. First, we will ask, make us of peace. Second, bearers of hope. Third, agents of change. Our beloved people, whose names we did hear, being myself trained soldier, I can say that no soldier goes to war for the purpose of war. Soldier goes to the front for peace. They died that there will be peace. And it is our duty, our responsibility to them to work for peace. It is our responsibility and duty to work for peace. So as we say today, that they gave their today for our tomorrow, we can say that we are creating a peaceful world for our children, our grandchildren. Yes, indeed, when we look around, there is every reason to lose hope. But these people, they lived in very tough times. They went with that hope that there will be a better world. Let no political stunt, let no promises of the politicians, let no fight between the politicians take that hope from us that we need to give to our children. Let's be the people of hope. But how can we do when we get surrounded by the rumors of war, by such hopelessness? That is the third point. Change. And we can change. We can ask today the maker of heaven and earth, who is unchanging himself, to change our prospect, our views, so we may create a world which is full of hope, full of peace. It is possible. We can do it in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Thank you.